G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
All right, well, if you have your Bibles, I want you to look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Give me an oi when you're there. For if by one man's offence death reigns through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. This is the fifth part of a series that I started a number of weeks ago about grace and righteousness. In the first 3 weeks we looked particularly about grace and what is so amazing about grace, and last week we started about righteousness. And I believe this will be the last part, not because I'm going to run out of stuff to say, but just because there's other things that need to be talked about. But this is so, so important. You know, like, everybody wants to be successful, and God made us for success. He has no problem with you being fruitful. People want to be successful in their job. They want to be successful in their finances. They want to be successful in terms of their personal health. They want to be successful in the relationships in their family and in the relationships with their neighbors, and God desires that. In fact, He doesn't just want you to be successful, He wants you to reign like a king. That's what this scripture we just read says. You know, a king lives by far the best in his kingdom. If the subjects live well, how much more does a king live? Because the king is the representative of that kingdom, the ruler of that kingdom. God doesn't want you just to be successful. He wants you to be ridiculously successful, well and healthy and financially well. He wants you to be exceedingly good in your job, being promoted ahead of others. Did you hear the God stories that were coming out this morning? A number of them, you know, like, were just like, the people were sharing it, and they were just like, they were saying, this is just, this was impossible. You know, Bronnie's story of financial provision, it wasn't money that she received, but she received an opening where her financial costs in the tens of thousands of dollars were being paid. And Anthony, I know we had, the God stories went for a while. Anthony actually came to me and he said, you've got 5 minutes to preach now, you know. But I love those God stories. You know, even his, and I know that they were all trying to keep it short. You know, Anthony's story about, you know, all the different things and tens of thousands of dollars just coming through his hands. And now he is a pipeline of blessing to others, but he's also benefiting from it himself. And man, you know, the other story, Jess's healing, there were so many God stories. But, you know, I wanted to highlight Anthony and Bronnie's ones, because that really illustrates what I'm trying to say with this series. They're experiencing a level of provision and success that is ridiculously beyond their personal abilities. And they will agree with me. And that's not putting down their abilities. And the things that are happening to them is not in proportion to their performance or their holiness or their goodness. It's come by the grace, receiving abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. They're reigning. And God wants that. I'm trying to illustrate to you, this is the realm that God wants us to come into. If you can point to some good things that are happening in your life and you did it through hard work, that's wonderful. But you haven't touched the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. We need a revelation of this. And I guess that's one of the reasons why I'm talking about it so much, is because we don't have the revelation. To the extent that we can get this is the extent to which we will begin to reign at a ridiculous level of success. Whatever that area of need is that you have, it'll be more than met, swallowed up, and then some, where you will just do well. And that's what this scripture is saying. It doesn't say, if by the one man's offense death reigns through the one, much more those who pray really hard. That's what it would say if one of us wrote it. Is that right? Much more those who pray really hard, they're going to reign. Much more those who read their Bible every day. They're the ones that are going to reign. Much more those who tithe, they're going to reign. Much more those who get to church every week, they're going to reign. Am I trying to say that those things are not... I'm not saying that those things are not important. I certainly hope you're investing time in reading the Word. I certainly hope that you're spending time communing with God. I'm certainly not trying to discourage you from coming to church or presenting your tithes, but you don't do those to try to get something from God. None of those things. Why do you pray? Some people think that that's the only reason you pray is when you need something. The primary purpose of prayer is to fellowship, to commune with God. Adam and Eve, what needs did they have when they were made? They had no needs, yet they would commune with God. They prayed every day. And they didn't think about, oh, it's time to pray again, all right, where is he? No, they loved walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Why do you read the Word? Keep your heart soft. God wants to talk to you. Give you revelation and understanding of your life. Show you things that are yet to come. Show you keys that can open up and bring you even to a greater level. Why do you come to church? Because you've got a family, a spiritual family, that you want to be a blessing to others, that you want to be equipped so that you can go out and do the work of the ministry. You do it. And you know what? Why do you tithe? It's because the tithe belongs to the Lord and you want to honor him. You're not doing any of those things to try to get something from God. And if you are, please stop. Because you won't get it. Whatever it is you're looking for from God for, if you're trying to do those things to get it, you're not going to get it. You've fallen into legalism, hey? In fact, it actually says, in Galatians, you've heard of the term fallen from grace? When we think about fallen from grace, we think that someone has committed some sort of sexual sin. But the actual phrase fallen from grace comes from the scriptures in Galatians. And it refers to someone who's getting into doing to try to get something from God. When you try to do things to try to get from God, you've fallen from grace. Because those who receive abundance of grace and those who receive the gift of righteousness, they're the ones who are going to reign. Hallelujah. So let me recap some things that we have talked about, and then I want to go on a bit more about righteousness. But we looked at how grace is God's unearned and undeserved favor. It is his enabling power. And that we can receive this by faith. And that we also looked at how, last week particularly, we looked at righteousness is a condition of the heart. So I'm going very quickly through this because I don't want to re-preach. I've taken 4 weeks to kind of nut a lot of these things out. But righteousness is the quality or state of being right. That's really important because I had mistakenly thinking righteousness was doing what was right. But it's not. It's being right. If you just be who God wants you to be, you'll automatically do what God wants you to do. But we're trying to do all the things God wants us to do in the hope that maybe we can be who God wants. No, it doesn't work that way. We're putting the cart in front of the horse, and we're trying to get the cart to go without the horse. No. Righteousness is the state of being right. Righteousness is when there is no wrong inside of you. When you're able to stand before a holy and just God without any sense of inferiority, without any sense of shame or guilt, that's righteousness. When he's looking at you and you don't feel like I need to hide. I don't want him to see this area of my life. Righteousness is who you are. And you are free of all fault, free of all sin. And because of that, you've got no reason to feel shame or guilt. And so we kind of started touching on that last week, and I want to go in a little bit more, because I just had a real witness. People were drinking that in last week and really receiving that. And that's exciting. I believe we're going to hear even more God stories. The more we can receive that gift of righteousness, the more we can receive the abundance of grace, the more we're going to begin to reign as kings. And people will say, how are you doing this? And you're going to go, it's God, because it's just a level of success that is beyond anything you could do. Hallelujah. I want you to look at Romans chapter 4. You're there at 5, so just go to the chapter before that. First thing I want to point out today, and I did talk about this last week, but I want to go into more detail this week, is that righteousness is a gift. It says those who receive the gift of righteousness, they're the ones who are going to reign. So Romans 4, verse 1, give me an oil if you're there. It says, what then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified, now remember, we're justified, we replace that with made right. So verse 2 says, for if Abraham was made right by works, he's got something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? It says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who makes right the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. I want you to listen to it from the Message translation. It's wonderful. It says, so how do we fit what we know of Abraham, our first father in the faith, into this new way of looking at things? If Abraham, by what he did for God, got God to approve him, he could certainly have taken credit for it. But the story we're given is a God story, not an Abraham story. See, that's the big difference, is when you begin to get the revelation of grace and righteousness, the stories you have about what's happening in your life are God stories. They're not Bronny stories, they're not Anthony stories, they're not Les stories, they're not Pete stories, they're God stories. Because it's just got his fingerprints, and people will run out of ways to explain, how did this happen to you? How did God use you to do that? Verse 3 in the Message, it says, what we read in the scripture is Abraham entered into what God was doing for him, and that was the turning point. He trusted God to set him right instead of trying to be right on his own. If you're a hard worker and do a good job, you deserve your pay. We don't call your wages a gift. But if you see that the job is too big for you, that it's something only God can do, and you trust him to do it, you could never do it for yourself, no matter how hard and long you've worked. Well, that trusting him to do it is what gets you set right with God, by God. Sheer gift. Let me read that verse 5 again. If you see that the job is too big for you, maybe that ultimate job that you're looking for, that promotion, that financial breakthrough, that car, that house, that healing that just seems so elusive, that favor, that opportunity, maybe those things just seem too big. And it says, but if you see that that job is too big for you, that it's something only God can do, and you trust him to do it, you could never do it for yourself, no matter how hard and long you work. Well, that trusting him to do it is what gets you set right with God, by God. Sheer gift. Receiving the gift of righteousness makes us right. How could God bless Abraham when he had lied repeatedly? We talked about it in the home group. We touched on it a couple of weeks ago. How could God do that? How could God bless him when he'd obviously lied? He went to the house of Abimelech. Abimelech took Sarah because Abraham said, she's my sister. And then Abimelech was judged for the deception that Abraham played out. How could God do that? Because Abraham was trusting God. God had said to him, Abraham had said to God, God, I don't have a child. Abraham said, look at the stars. God said, Abraham, look at the stars. can you count the stars? And he said, no, I can't. He said, that's how many descendants you're going to have. And the scripture says he believed God. And the moment you believe God, the scripture says you are made right with him. In every area. He trusted God that God would give him a son, and he was made right in every area. So that when he came to the house of Abimelech, he is lying to the face of this ruler, and God judges this man who doesn't have a covenant with God, and he says, how dare you touch my anointed one? He's in covenant with me. You give his wife back. This is how God sees you and I. When we put our trust in him, we receive that gift of righteousness. And yeah, you might have faults and you might have failures and you might have habits and you might have addictions and ways of thinking and problems with your finances and all of these things. And God doesn't see any of that. He sees your faith in him. And he says, here's my gift of righteousness. Now when I look at you, I see no fault in you. You don't need to be ashamed. You don't need to carry guilt. You don't need to feel inferior. Come into my presence. I'm the one that made you right. Who's going to question my decision? Hallelujah. When you put your trust in God and his goodness, he doesn't see your flaws. He doesn't see your imperfections. He sees your faith. Abraham lied twice to protect his own skin, yet he's known as the friend of God. Moses killed a man and hid the body, but he's known not for that. He's known as the man who spoke face to face with God. David slept with another man's wife and then arranged for this man to be killed in battle. Yet he's not known for that in God's eyes. He's known as a man after my own heart. When you keep your eyes on the grace of God rather than your problems, then God keeps his eyes on your faith rather than your flaws. Oh, but Pastor Les, I know that God has forgiven all my sin, but I just mess up all the time. You know, you need to watch what comes out the other end of your butt. I know God's forgiven me, but I just mess up so much. Whatever comes out the other end of your butt is what you really believe. I know God said that he heals all my diseases, but the pain is still there. I know God says he'll supply all my needs, but the bills are so big and they're already overdue. You need to watch what comes out the other end of your butt. There's nothing wrong with saying, you know what, I've got pain in my body, but by his wounds I was healed. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with you saying, you know what, I got bills that are piling up on my desk and I got no idea how they're going to get paid, but he supplies all my need according to his riches in glory. Nothing wrong with you saying, you know, I mess up a lot, but I've received the gift of righteousness. Hallelujah. Righteousness is a gift, hey? And that's why Abraham was known as his friend, is because he chose to trust God and God didn't see any of his flaws, and he doesn't see any of your flaws when you put your trust in him. But it comes by faith, hey? It comes by faith, not faith in your ability to do what's right, but faith in God's ability that he's made you right. Faith in his ability to get you to the finish line. Hallelujah. Now we'll go, can we have that first slide up? This is a scripture we looked at. I've made it a bit bigger so we could see it a bit clearer. We conclude that a man is made right by faith apart from doing right. Actually, that's not the New King James. I've changed a few of the phrases. The New King James says we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. But literally what it means, justified means made right, and the works of the law are the right things that we ought to be doing in our life. You're not made right by doing right. You're made right by trusting Christ. We'll go to the next one, thank you. Galatians 2:16. That is the New King James up there. It says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. And if we go to the third one, that is replacing those phrases. So the way it reads in our modern day, it says, knowing that a man is not made right by doing right, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be made right by faith in Christ and not by doing right. For by doing right, no flesh shall be made right. You are not made right by doing right. You're made right by trusting Jesus. And the awesome thing, and we looked a bit about this last week, and we're going to look at it a bit more today, the inverted form of that, if you're made right by trusting Christ, then if you're not made right by doing right, then you're not made wrong by doing wrong. When you fail to do the right thing, it doesn't remove you from right standing with God. Doing wrong doesn't make you wrong. Failing to trust Christ is what makes you wrong. Righteousness doesn't come from doing all the right things, from faithfully reading your Bible. It doesn't come by praying for hours. It doesn't come from going to church or giving your tithes. It doesn't come from fasting, from binding the devil. Righteousness doesn't come from those things. It doesn't come from doing a good deed every day. Righteousness doesn't come from repentance. Pastor Les, are you saying we don't need to repent? Listen, if you've done something and you realize that you've done the wrong thing, repent. But your right standing doesn't come from repentance. It comes from trusting Jesus. How many scriptures have we looked at that point that out? It doesn't say knowing that a man is not made right by doing right, therefore we repent. It says, therefore, we trust Christ. Righteousness doesn't come by confessing your sins. Yeah, but Pastor Les, doesn't the Bible say that we need to confess our sins to get right with God? No, it doesn't. The Bible does not say that righteousness comes by confessing your sins. Have a look. I want you to turn. Have a look at 1 John chapter 1. Verse 9, give me an oi when you're there. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I want you to hold your spot there. I want to read something to you, and then we're going to talk about that. In 2 Corinthians, you can write this down if you're a note taker, 2 Corinthians 5:19 says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. The New Living Translation says God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. When God was in Christ, he no longer, because of what Jesus did, he no longer counts sins against you or me. That's what the Word of God says. There is no sin issue for a believer anymore. In fact, even for a non-believer, the issue, and the ministry of reconciliation that you and I have, because the Bible says we are ambassadors of Christ, is to tell people, do you realize God's not angry with you? He's taking care of your sin. The sin issue has been dealt with. It says God is no longer counting sins against us. So what does it mean here in 1 John 1:9 if we confess our sins? What does it mean to confess our sins? The word confess, the Greek word is homologio. Homo, homos, is the same as from where we get homogenous. Homo means to be the same. Like homosexual, same sex. Homo means to be the same. Logio comes from logos, which is speaking or word. So homologio means to speak the same as or to agree with. This scripture says if we confess our sins, it literally means to say the same as what God says about our sins. What does God say about our sins? I don't count your sins anymore. When you confess your sins, it's not going to God and saying, God, I messed up again. Wow, that's revelation for God. Wow, really? Did you? How can confession be that? I mean, God knows everything. Confess, the literal word confess means to agree with or say the same as. And when we're talking about our sins, we're saying we're agreeing with God or saying the same as what God says about our sin. So when you confess your sin, you're saying, God, I realize that you're not counting my sin against me. Because that's what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:19. God has reconciled the world to himself and he no longer counts their sin against them. And when we say the same as what God says about our sin, that's when we receive that forgiveness. It becomes a reality in our life. You are not made right by confessing your sin. Because your sin has been dealt with. You're made right by trusting Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, but Pastor Les, my sins. My sins are just always on my mind. The times that I mess up, the times that I get so selfish, the times that I just do the wrong thing. What does God do with that? Does he just sweep it under the carpet? No. God doesn't just wink at you and go, let's just act like that didn't happen, hey? No way. There was a horrible price that was paid by a man who did nothing wrong, but he took my payment, what I deserved. I deserved to go to hell, and so did you. Mother Teresa deserved to go to hell. I had a guy write to me one time because I led this classmate of his to the Lord, and she was sharing with him and saying, oh, I've received Jesus and he's forgiven all my sin, you know, and she began to share the gospel with this guy who was an atheist. So he wrote me this letter. He said, I object to what you said to my friend. You're saying that God will just forgive you no matter what, and even if you're Mother Teresa, you won't get into heaven unless you call on the Lord. And I wrote back and I said, I couldn't have said it better myself. That's exactly what I'm saying. None of us deserve to go to heaven. But it's been paid for because of God's goodness, hey? Your sins and my sins were judged. The full penalty of what you and I should have had was put on Christ. He doesn't sweep it under the carpet. He doesn't wink at you and just say, come on. That's why it is so offensive when we fail to trust in what he did. When you keep looking at your problems, it's like you're saying, what you did is not enough. I don't trust it. That's what gets you out of sorts with God, when you stop walking by faith. And you know what the Holy Spirit will do? He's going to convict you of sin. The sin he convicts you of is not the mess-ups that you do. It's not the selfishness. It's not those addictions. None of those things. He will convict you of one sin. Trust Jesus. You're not trusting Jesus. Just trust Jesus. Isn't that what Bronnie was saying when she was looking at these piles of financial obligations that were coming up, and it looked like, how in the world am I? And the Lord was just saying to her, just trust me. I've got you out of worse than this. Trust me. That's what the Spirit of God will convict you and me about. Receive his gift of righteousness and forgive yourself. Yeah, I guess that's one of the reasons I believe the Lord's really got me to park on this for a number of weeks, is because I just believe that there's people that beat themselves up. They don't need the devil. The devil has a club and he's coming to attack them, but it's like they've grabbed the club and they're just beating themselves up. And the devil goes, oh yeah, just keep doing that. I'll move on. Don't be so hard on yourself. Just trust in him. Trust that what he did, it was his idea to save you. It was his idea to make you. It was his plan that he wants to put into. Just cooperate with that and just say, God, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I just receive it. Just do what you got to do. And then he's saying, finally, now we can get to work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Have a look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Are you getting something out of this morning? Hallelujah. It says, Ephesians 2 verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now that word saved means healed or delivered or prospered or promoted or protected. By grace you've been healed through faith. By grace you've been delivered. By grace you've been protected through faith. By grace you've been prospered. By grace you've been promoted through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. You know, the Message translation, it says it this way. It says saving is all his idea and all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It is God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done the whole thing. Your healing doesn't come because of your work. Your healing comes by grace through faith. It's not of works. Your promotion doesn't come because of your work. Now, you can cooperate with that. You know, like if you, I'm not trying to say that you shouldn't be diligent. There is tremendous blessing in being diligent. In fact, I cringe. And if you're someone who's like this, then just wear it. I cringe with people who are sloppy in their work ethics. I cringe. But God loves you, and he'll never stop loving you. And your righteousness doesn't come because you're a good worker. And even if you're a sloppy worker, you're still righteous before him. But there are just some things like the blessing of the Lord, you know, like it says the faithful will abound in blessings. With faithfulness and diligence come blessings. But then with the abundance of grace and the gift and righteousness, when you put that on with your faithfulness, it'll take you to levels that not even your hard work could ever get you. All of the provisions of the covenant come not because of our works. They come by grace. And all we do is just say, okay, God, I receive it. I receive it. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'll just cooperate. You just show me what I need to do, and I'll do it. And we just walk. We just walk with him. Hallelujah. You know, righteousness, it really is the foundation of your authority as a believer. It's the foundation of my authority. How do we know? How do we know that it's the foundation of authority? Well, it says, those who receive the gift of righteousness, they're the ones who will reign as kings. Kings reign because their authority is recognized. If a king's authority is not recognized, they're not reigning. They're just like a guy having a talk. Somebody get me my food, no one's getting it. He's not reigning. Somebody run my bath, no one's doing it. That's just a guy just talking. Kings reign because their authority is recognized, and your authority is recognized because you have a foundation of righteousness. In Romans 5:21 it says, just as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness. Hallelujah. Grace only reigns when we accept our position of righteousness. That's why the Bible says, awake to righteousness and sin not. Some people will read that and go, you see, Pastor Les, awake to righteousness and sin not. We shouldn't sin. Can you see how legalistic thinking can take us down a warped road? And we're all guilty of this, hey? This is why we need to renew our minds with this sort of stuff. When it says in Corinthians, awake to righteousness and sin not, it's not talking about what you need to be doing. It's saying, awake to righteousness. Realize righteousness is a free gift. You are righteousness. And when you awake to righteousness, that God has already said you're right and that he finds no fault in you, when you awake to that, you will sin not. Sin just falls off when you realize, I don't need to try to be righteous, I am righteous. That horrible habit, that mismanagement of money, all of those things will just melt away when you receive that gift of righteousness. I am righteous. Amen. What am I dealing with this habit for? I'm a good manager of my money. What sickness and disease can stay on my body? I'm a righteous man. Hallelujah. Righteousness is the foundation of our authority. When you don't know you're right, you can't move with authority in that area. You can't move with authority in the area of finances. You can't move with authority in the area of healing. You can't move with authority in anything. In fact, fruitfulness of prayer comes as a result of your position of righteousness. Remember it said in 1 Peter chapter 3? It says, the eyes of the Lord are upon what? The righteous. And his ears are open to their prayers. Some people read that and go, see, I've got to get right. I've got to get right. No, you are right. Receive the gift. And when you've received that gift, it's freely given. It's given by grace through faith, not of your works. Now you're right. And his eyes are upon you because you're righteous. And his ears are open to your prayers because you're righteous. Have a look at 1 John chapter 3. Hallelujah. And it is in verse 21. Give me an oi when you're there. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. You know, one of the hardest things to do is to pray when your heart is condemning you. Hey. And that's why this scripture says, when our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him. When you've received the gift of righteousness, you're free of condemnation. And when you've received that gift of righteousness and you're free of condemnation, you're fruitful in prayer. And it says, whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. What pleases God? It's having faith. When by faith you receive that gift of righteousness, you are pleasing him. And that's when you become fruitful in prayer. Yeah, but Pastor Les, what if my heart is condemning me? Well, I got good news for you, hey. Because just before verse 21 is verse 20. It says, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. If your heart is condemning you, you need to start agreeing with God. And not your heart. Start agreeing with God. God, my heart says that I'm unfaithful. My heart says that I'm unholy. My heart says that I'm unrighteous. But you said that I am holy. You said that I am righteous. You said that I am faithful. If our heart condemns us, this is what you do. Is you get in agreement with God, because God is greater than our hearts and he knows all things. Oh, but Pastor Les, I just mess up all the time. See, there you go again. getting on the works mentality, looking at your works instead of looking at what Jesus did. Hallelujah. When we realize that we are righteous because of what Christ did, and we put our trust in that, we live a life free of condemnation. And then we can pray with authority, because righteousness is the foundation of our authority. That's why Jesus was able to say, before he raised Lazarus from the dead, he prayed and he said, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me and you always hear me." Why? He was righteous. And you can say that too. "Father, I thank you that you hear me." Why? His ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to turn to one more scripture, and we're going to finish with this. I want you to look at Zechariah chapter 4. And verse 6. Give me an oi when you're there. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. "So he answered and he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" It's not through our ingenuity. It's not through our clever thinking. It's not by any works that we do. But what is it? It's by his spirit. It's by grace through faith. It's when we receive the abundance of grace, when we receive everything that he's done, that's when it begins to happen. Now, I want you to notice this. It says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." And then as a result of that, I want you to notice what Zerubbabel says. Because Zerubbabel received that word. "It's not by might or by power, but by my spirit." And then it says, "Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. And he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of, 'My prayer did it.'" Is that what he's going to shout? Grace. Grace. "He shall bring forth the capstone with shouts that it was my fasting. My fasting did it. He shall bring forth that capstone with shouts. It was my holy life. That's what did it." No. When you realize it's not by might, it's not by your ingenuity, your clever thinking, but it's by the Spirit of God, it's by everything that he did, you're going to shout, "It was grace. It was grace that did it." And people are going to come up to you and say, "How are you doing these ridiculously amazing things?" You're going to say, "Grace, grace, grace, grace. I've received an abundance of grace. I've received the gift of righteousness. And it's not because I'm so amazing, it's because he's so amazing." And you can have some too. Hallelujah. Stand up with me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, gala shalabas go brata shali. I'm going to lead you in a confession to receive that abundance of grace and receive afresh that gift of righteousness. Hallelujah. Because these are gifts that come freely to you and I. So if that's the desire of your heart, I want you to say after me, "I thank you, my Father, that you did it all and you made it available to me. And so in response to that, I open up my heart and I receive abundance of grace and I receive the gift of righteousness. And so now I'm right because you say I'm right. Not because I necessarily do things right, but you say I'm right. And I choose to walk in that abundance of grace and that gift of righteousness in Jesus' name. And I know that as I do, I will reign as kings in the name of Jesus. Oh, give him thanks and praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
This message is distributed free of charge by the friends and partners of Transformers Christian Church. If you'd like to partner with us and help send this to others free of charge, then email info@transformers.org.au. Have a great day.